The Amazing Spider-Man Movie Review.
Do you have the box office results by any chance?
Thank you.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's the biggest Tuesday ever.
I feel like that's like a cheat.
Because the biggest Tuesday ever? What does that even mean?
Probably gonna say it's the biggest Tuesday ever, so you can say that sounds like a cheat.
I'm saying it right now. We're on live right now.
Oh, but we didn't really.
Oh yeah, that's right. Hello and welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at what speed, Daniel?
Warp speed.
Correct. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I'm Daniel Butcher.
And we saw The Amazing Spider-Man this morning. So, let's just get right to it. We'll first give you our ratings. And then we're going to tell you what we thought in general. Daniel, 1 out of 5. Go.
I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to break the 1 out of 5. Because there's a Facebook comment that from Jason that says 6 out of 10.
Okay.
And I agree with Jason.
Well, he said more than that.
So I guess that would make it a 3 out of 5 if I was to, you know.
It's not exact science. Jason said more than that, though, didn't he?
Well, he said that he thought the next one should be better now that a larger portion of the origin story is told. Or should I say, retold?
Interesting. Okay, so you're thinking about 3. I'm going to give it a 4. Can't quite give it a 5. It was good, but not.
I'll be honest. I want to give it like a 3.5.
Okay.
But
when we left the theater, you said you were disappointed.
I was so disappointed.
But why so disappointed?
Where do I even begin?
Well, begin wherever you want. They're all
so
wondering.
Let's start with the origin story.
Okay.
Okay. So in the traditional Spider-Man origin story, Peter gets his powers. By the way, we're probably going to go spoiler here.
Oh, yeah. This is a complete spoiler episode. So basically only listen to this if you've seen the movie or if you don't mind spoilers.
So in the traditional Spider-Man origin story, Peter gets his powers and becomes a little bit of a jerk long enough to go to wrestling and wrestle with Macho Man Randy Savage.
Well, that's,
at least once, if not twice.
That's in the movie, in the Tobey Maguire movie.
But even in the comic books,
well, Macho Man
he goes more
books.
Than once. Okay. To the wrestling venue.
Okay.
And he's got this whole giving Uncle Ben grief for longer than 3 seconds.
Well, so I loved this story, actually. And what I really liked about it is how they basically made it... his parents are pretty involved with his origin, I think.
Well, Daddy made the spider.
Not just... Okay. Did you catch on when they said... at one point in the movie... Connors says that all the other trials have died.
Yes.
Spider-Man, or Peter Parker, did not die.
Because Daddy gave him the formula.
I think that they injected him with stuff as a child. And his body was already prepared to become a superhero, basically.
See, but if I knew that this was based on Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate Origins, I would say, okay, I agree with you. But since nobody has said it has been, I'm going to look at you and say you're completely taking that out of context.
Okay, wait a second. I am unfamiliar with Ultimate Spider-Man. I only is it 616 is the real universe? Okay. So
in Ultimate Spider-Man, in the Ultimate Universe, Peter Parker's dad did do some pre-work on him that made him be able to take
the bite. No, wait. How did he even know that he was going to get bitten?
Well, because Daddy was working on it.
But how did Peter Parker's dad know that eventually... Like, Ultimate Spider-Man, how does he get...
Basically, he's using his own DNA to help create a spider formula.
Okay.
So, Peter's a good match for when he gets bit.
Okay.
But, again, this isn't coming from the Ultimate Universe, so I think you're completely making it up.
No, okay. Well, there was obviously some sort of conspiracy with them. They were... Okay, in the 616 universe, when you say 616, that's basically the regular Marvel universe, because you probably know...
should be regular Marvel universe.
No, it shouldn't. If you know anything about comics, you know that there's multiple worlds, multiple universes, so there's different versions of different characters. 616 is the original. So, even in that storyline, Peter Parker's parents were spies. A lot of people don't know that.
But that's more recent.
It was retconned, like, I don't know when.
Like Tuesday. It was like retcon Tuesday.
No. What are you talking about? This has been like this for 20s of years.
It has not been like this for 20s of years.
Just, you can look it up later. Anyway, so that is part of the story, that they were spies. So, I like that they brought that in. I don't know, though, they were never part of making Peter Parker Spider-Man, though, in the regular universe.
Correct.
So, you said you think this should be the regular universe. I disagree. I think the cinematic universe, you know, when it comes to Avengers, you know, it comes to Spider-Man, comes to X-Men, I want those, they can make their own universes that are totally separate from what we see now.
So how awkward is it for Kevin Feige to be an executive producer on this?
I don't think
and have it not match up with his Avengers movie.
Well, a little bit, but I think that the ultimate plan is that they will team up. Like, even if Sony owns Spider-Man...
It's not going to happen.
And even... Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
And even if Fox owns X-Men...
It's not going to happen.
I think that they're going to work together. Yeah, that's what... I have a good feeling about that.
Hey, you know when the last time Disney worked with another company like that?
No, when?
Hey, did you see the sequel to Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
That never happened?
Yeah, it never happened.
So you are... You don't think so? All right, well...
No.
Whatever. All right, so I love the origin story in conclusion.
So to me, Peter needed to be a little bit cockier for a while. What's up with Uncle Ben giving no final words except over cell phone?
About what?
About where there's great power, there's great responsibility. Where's that at as he dies?
Well, you know, actually, I think you might also be making another mistake that a lot of people make, which is you think that Uncle Ben is the one that said with great power comes great responsibility.
And who said it?
Well, let's go back in history. Let me take it from here. You're the Disney expert. I wouldn't call myself a comic expert, but I do know quite a bit about comic history. So here it is. Amazing Fantasy number 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man. Speaking of Uncle Ben dying, before I go on to tell you about this, awesome. It was really emotional, I thought. And I'll come back to that. But anyways.
There's more emotion in Captain Stacy's death, and more to be said.
Okay, oh man, I have so much I want to share with you. Okay, so Amazing Fantasy 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man.
Amazing Fantasy 15, go ahead.
Uncle Ben does die there, but he never says, "With great power comes responsibility." In fact, we don't even read those words until the last panel of this comic book with the first appearance of Spider-Man. And the person that says, "With great power comes great responsibility," is, in fact, just the narrator. The ambiguous narrator of the comic says that, and Peter Parker learns that with great power comes great responsibility. So, people think it's Uncle Ben because future stories of his origin... Uncle Ben says it, and in the movie, of course, with Tobey Maguire, he says it, but did you just look it up?
People are trying to give credit to Stan Lee as the unnamed narrator.
Stan Lee is the one that made it up, probably.
I'm just saying, we have
or,
in our mind...
Or Steve Ditko.
We have in our mind that Uncle Ben is this great spiritual mentor, mm-hmm. And what's he got to say to the kid as he dies?
Well...
Wait, I just said it.
Nothing, he died. That's why it's even better.
He can't get anything off.
It's because Peter and Uncle Ben were fighting, and he doesn't even get to say any last words. He just dies. It was emotional.
But Captain Stacy's got enough time as he's been mauled to say, "Don't date my kid."
Okay, listen to this. Here's another interesting thing. In the comics, Captain Stacy also dies, but he had not found out that Spider-Man. Or, well, the audience didn't know that he had found out that Spider-Man was Peter Parker. And so, as he's laying there dying, he admits to Peter that he has always known who he was. And his last words are, do you know what they were?
Don't date my daughter.
In the comic books? And they were, in fact, take care of Gwen.
Mm.
Quite the opposite. Mm. But I like this twist better because in the real world, this makes way more sense. If I have a daughter, I don't want her hanging out with this guy who's going to endanger her life. I want him to stay far away. Mm. Thoughts?
Mm. Well, I do not want my daughter dating Spider-Man.
Okay, well, I guess we have that.
So for more rip-offs, okay, let's talk about the fact that the end with the funeral for Captain Stacy
is
pretty much, you know, the end of the original Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie.
Basically.
I can't date you. I can't do this.
But they make...
They redeem it at the end, but it's like, oh, great. We're going to reboot this and completely shoot the complete end of the first Spider-Man movie right here.
No, wait. They did it better. They did it better
until
because...
Until that moment, I was so irritated. I
know. There were some ties to the first movie, but then they had the line about the promise, and those are the best kind... No, to break or something. Basically, he's giving hope to Gwen. He whispers it right to her that, okay, I probably will just forget about what I promised your dying father.
And then we can go kiss later.
We can date again, don't worry. And she smiles and everything's happy. And then we flash to the end scene after a little bit of credits, where Kurt Connors is there in jail and somebody mysteriously appears to him. Who do you think it is?
If I had to guess right now,
yep, you have to guess.
And I don't think the actor who's in the cutscene will be the person who will actually play this, but I think it's Norman Osborn.
A lot of people are saying it's Norman Osborn, but I've heard from some very reliable sources that the studio's coming out and saying it's not Norman Osborn. It's more of an underling.
Whoever it is gotten a shot of... I think they got a shot of lizard juice. Whoever it is. Because there's some scales going on there.
No, you know what? I know what
and
you're talking about.
And I don't think they're Connor scales.
I think it's on Connor.
I don't think they're on Connor's.
Okay, so let's talk about who it could be. If it's not Green Goblin, not Norman Osborn, who is the person in the shadow? Go ahead and guess.
I think it's probably Venom and Sandman and Dr. Octopus. Oh, wait a minute. That's what the sort of thing they did with...
I think that they won't use the same characters, even though they're obviously free to. I mean, I could see Dr. Octopus maybe being used again. For some reason... This character appears and disappears. I'm trying to think of what villain has the power of some sort of teleportation.
Is the Watcher.
Disappearing. Are you familiar with Mysterio?
I am familiar with Mysterio.
I don't know a lot about him, but he seems like the kind of character that could appear and disappear. I've also heard some people say, since there was lightning happening during that scene, perhaps it could be Electro. Are you familiar with Electro?
I'm familiar with Electro.
So,
The thing is it's clear, we're heading towards Osborn. Eventually, we're going to have Osborn.
I want to see him, like, I think he'll appear in the second movie, but he won't be Green Goblin. You'll see him gradually get more evil. And then third movie, the final in this trilogy. Because now, since it's been released, for the first time, the studio is saying this is the first movie in a trilogy.
So they are saying it's a trilogy.
Yes, it's a trilogy.
Okay, it's got a trilogy feel to it. Yeah. So.
Did you like this? Do you like Andrew Garfield?
He's all right.
That's his last name, I think, Garfield.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's just nothing...
I hate Tobey Maguire, and I hate Kirsten Dunst. So I was so happy to hear that they were recasting.
Here's my problem. I want Spider-Man in the ranks of the Avengers, and I want him saying Josh Whedon dialogue.
Joss.
Yes. I want him dishing out Whedon dialogue. Because the dialogue here is just not snappy enough.
Hmm. I thought he was good. Like the scene with the guy who holds up a knife to him. And where he's basically saying, oh, you found my weakness. I know that's in the trailer.
I was going to say, too bad we've seen it in the trailer.
Yeah, but that was one of the funniest scenes of the movie, I thought. You didn't like it? Oh, you're yawning in rebellion. No, I thought that was great. I loved... in the comics, I don't know that Spider-Man uses his webbing as such an offensive weapon as he did in this movie. Like, that's basically his best weapon.
Okay, so I was happy about that because in the Tobey Maguire thing, they make the webbing a biological thing.
Yeah, organic, yeah.
Where here, they do actually go back to the original origin, and it's a mechanical thing that Peter had to build.
And they made it obvious that Peter is a genius, but they put him in a science school. Did you notice that? The Midtown Science?
Yeah, and yet Flash goes to a science magnet school. Now, I have a kid who goes to a magnet school.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are area kids that go to that magnet school, but it was like, really? Really?
Yeah. Really? So they've established Peter. He is smarter than Tobey Maguire's version, I think.
Can we talk about the science in this?
Wait, first, before we move on past the web shooters, I love to see... I've never seen any villain actually just be like, go straight to web shooters and break them, which is an awesome way to cripple his offense. So, okay, go ahead. What about the web
shooters? Okay, so let's talk about science.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to eject a test subject with something.
Yeah.
So let's let a teenager hold it in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
As he's going to get injured. Yeah, come on.
He's like, don't let me poke you with that. Yeah, I know, that was dumb. What did you think about the lizard rat?
It was the oomoo.
That was the most disgusting thing in the movie.
It made me cringe. It was Spider-Man 2, Dr. Octopus pulling the nurse across. Ooh-ness.
Yeah, that was gross. Let's see. What other... Okay, so we've talked about Uncle Ben's death. I think it was awesomely done. You didn't like it. We talked about Gwen Stacy's dad dying. I think it was more real world that he would want him to stay away. What about Aunt May?
Yawn.
Sally Field and Martin Sheen were awesome in this role.
Okay, here's the thing.
Acting wise.
Aunt May is a lady with gray or white hair.
Yes.
Because she's That's matronly, she's elderly.
Yeah.
At any moment.
But don't you like...
At any moment she could die.
Don't you like her better that she's not, like, feeble?
You know, I like it in the Ultimate Universe where she's not feeble.
Mm-hmm.
But... Even there, she's not feeble and she's got white hair.
Okay, let me ask you this. Does Aunt May know Peter Parker or Spider-Man?
Now, that is an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because at the end, I'm saying to myself, she knows.
Yeah, she has to know.
She has to know. And it's the bruising. And one of the great secrets of Spider-Man is the fact that Aunt May doesn't know.
Yeah.
And it almost kind of had that Iron Man feel of, hey, let's just tell her. And I was waiting for him to say, hey.
Yeah.
Just get.
I don't think he has to tell her.
You know what? I was waiting for her to say, "I saw you got beat up on TV."
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. He walks in after this great battle that she's obviously been following in the news. He has bruises everywhere on his face. He's super beat up. She hugs him, but doesn't ask him what happened. If she didn't know that he was Spider-Man, wouldn't the first thing you ask is, what happened to your face?
Where are the bruises?
Yeah.
What's going on?
And this is not the first time she's seen him come in. Plus, there was that scene where they're sitting in the kitchen, and Captain Stacy first announces that there's an order out to arrest, or a warrant for Spider-Man's arrest, and Peter Parker just stands straight up. And I think that was probably the moment where she put it together, because they do a close-up on her face, and she's kind of pondering.
Aww.
Aww. Yeah, so I'm saying Aunt May knows Gwen Stacy. Like, she found out so fast. What did you think about the romance between them? Did it feel rushed to you?
There's nothing like watching people in their mid-20s pretending to be high schoolers in love.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not very believable for you. I thought that I like Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy. They did a great job with her character, but she fell in love with him in like a minute just because he saved that kid from getting beat up by Flash. And there was some weird line where she said, "Flash, are we meeting after school still?"
I think she was trying to embarrass him with the idea that I'm tutoring you.
Yeah, she's tutoring, right? And so, but they didn't really follow up with that because it almost. Because, she was tutoring him, but I felt like maybe there was more to the relationship, and then all of a sudden she really likes Peter. And then I didn't like that she basically pursued him and asked him out on the first date. If he was interested, he should have pursued her like a man.
Hey, she's only got so much time before she gets thrown off a bridge. Probably in the third movie.
Okay, this has to be said. So, yeah, I think you're right. So, if you know anything about comics, you know that Gwen Stacy dies tragically in Amazing Spider-Man number, I think, 150. And so...
look at you just whipping these numbers out.
Yeah, so, okay, the way she dies, I'm just going to lay it out. Green Goblin throws her off a bridge. Spider-Man saves her by shooting his web at her. But, bad news, with the velocity of her falling, as the web catches her, or like, you know, sticks to her, it stops her instantly, whiplash, she breaks her neck and dies. So Spider-Man is actually the accidental killer of Gwen Stacy in the comics. So, we likely will see that happen in the third movie, but in this first movie, do you remember the scene where they're in the hallway, he uses the trophy to break the window and says, "No, I'm going to have to throw you out the window," right?
Mm-hmm.
He does it to her right there, even though it's a shorter distance. The way that he caught her with the web, that is how she dies in the comics. So, a little foreshadowing there. Or they're saying, "We did it. We threw it out." "We threw it out there. She's now been redeemed. She's not going to die. We've shown you the scene where she could have possibly got whiplash and died. Now we're saying that's over. We've paid homage to it, but that's not going to happen. What do you got here?
121, buddy.
That's when she dies, 121? Yeah,
it's 121.
Oh, okay. Maybe check 150 might be the Clone Saga?
No, it's something to do with the Lizard.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm not a comic expert, as I said.
Worked for me.
Okay. I should just, every episode, I should just say, check out Spider-Man 272, where, in fact, and just make up some stuff. No one will ever know.
Except for everyone who can Google.
Yeah, except for those people. Yeah.
So this movie came out on Tuesday.
Yeah, unusual. It came out July 3rd.
And it made a lot of money for it. You got anything else to say about the movie? I'm sorry. The script... They're going to make a sequel.
I'll say more about it, but go ahead. Give us the facts. So
on Tuesday, it came out, and it made, what, $35 million?
I don't know.
$35 million.
You're holding your iPad in your hand.
$35 million.
Okay.
Highest grossing Tuesday of all time.
Yeah, which, as I was saying to you when we first started recording... Kind of a cheat to say highest grossing Tuesday, because how many movies ever open on a Tuesday?
Maybe one.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened in some point in history, but Wednesdays are popular. Fridays are obviously the day. So Tuesday, what does that even mean?
Exactly. So they're saying by the end of the weekend, 140 million.
Okay, obviously the number one movie of the
from Tuesday, week. From Tuesday to Sunday,
okay.
140. Spider-Man 3.
Beat it?
151.
In only 3 days, probably.
In the opening.
Interesting. That's weird. I think this is a better movie than the other three.
It is a better movie than Spider-Man 3.
And they definitely tried to go
the route. It doesn't take a whole lot to make a better movie than Spider-Man.
No, I'm saying all...
We can
all
make a better movie with Spider-Man
Spider-Man 3. 1, 2, and 3. This is better. Of all the four Spider-Man movies that exist, this is the best. By far. To me. By far. It's more grounded in reality, which I think is kind of the route that they're trying to go with superhero movies now. You've seen it in Iron Man, you obviously saw it in Dark Knight and Batman Begins. This is the Spider-Man that's grounded in reality. It's awesome.
I'm not willing to say it's better than the first one yet.
What? Obviously.
They're very different to me. I think that this one almost. I think the problem I have with this one is it almost took itself too serious.
Spider-Man 2002 was too. Like you're saying, this took itself too seriously. That one was too campy, not serious enough.
You don't understand, though, how long it had been since we had a good superhero movie before that.
Well, 2000.
And now X-Men. We've got so. We have so many going on right now.
That's another thing. What you just brought up is I think Spider-Man 3 was the only superhero movie that came out probably that whole year. And now we've got, in this month, The Amazing Spider-Man and The Dark Knight Rises, two of the biggest films of the year. And then two months ago, we had Avengers. I mean,
which I just saw again for the third time on Tuesday.
Oh, that's pretty fun. So, interestingly, Spider-Man 2002, 10 years ago, here we are now, 10 years later, and superhero movies are one of the biggest genres that exists right now. Like,
we're getting ready for what, two next summer?
Next year, we've got Iron Man 3, Thor 2. We announced in the Sci-Fi Christian like a year ago that the studio had secured, I want to say like May 2nd, 2014. I could be wrong about the date, but some date in May of 2014 for Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I predict here, you'll hear it here first, it will be called The Spectacular Spider-Man.
That would be a good move.
Yeah. Yeah, don't give it a number two. Just keep on going with the adjectives.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I mean, it would fit the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Their one could be Ultimate Spider-Man.
No, they won't do that. They'll do The Web of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, for sure, Spectacular. They've had Sensational, I think. But, yeah. Anyways. I'm trying to think if there's any closing thoughts on Spider-Man.
I'm okay with it. It's nothing great.
Nothing great.
It was all right. See, here's my prediction for the summer.
Okay.
Three superhero movies.
Okay.
Okay?
You're going to rank them for us?
I'm going to rank you. This is my predictions, my thoughts on where they're at.
Okay.
My guess is that Dark Knight Rises will wind up being my favorite superhero movie of the summer.
Obviously. It's going to be the greatest movie of the year, probably.
I think Avengers comes in as number two.
Okay. Yes.
And again, those are going to be apples to oranges.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, because I consider it part of summer, I'm going to put John Carter.
Oh, my
God. Oh, yes!
It's not a superhero.
Oh, he's a superhero.
No, he's not.
He jumps. He runs. Let's see. And then I'm going to put after that, let's see.
This is just silly now.
There's that Katy Perry. No, I haven't seen that. Okay, then Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, John Carter, I'm not saying John Carter is going to be bad. I obviously haven't seen it yet, but he's not a superhero.
He jumps. He runs.
He does have his own comic book now, by Marvel.
He should.
Have you read it at all?
No.
You were reading the book, so how are you enjoying the old books?
I've read the first three. I can see where they definitely were going.
Yeah.
With the trilogy. They need to do a trilogy.
Fingers crossed. I hope for more John Carter, for your sake.
I know that at Comic-Con, there's going to be people there trying to promote John Carter. I know that the Back to John Carter movement's been going.
Before we move on from Spider-Man, because I think we're wrapping up here, I had loaded up some information while we were talking here on the computer. There was a character who is named Dr. Rajit Ratha, who is the kind of evil scientist who was going to take the that formula to the Veterans Hospital.
Mm-hmm,
this
mm-hmm.
guy whose picture I'm pointing at right here. So a lot of people have been saying, what happened to him? He was kind of like an evil force at the beginning of the movie. Then kind of the bad guy that is trying to heal the sick Norman Osborn, which is interesting that Norman Osborn, now we know, is dying. So do you know what happened to him? What's the last thing you remember seeing him in?
Seeing him in the movie?
Yeah.
He was on the bridge.
Yep, that's right. He was in the bridge in the car. I think either his car got tossed. Oh, yeah, I think it was one of the ones.
I think it was one of the danglers.
Yeah, one of the danglers that Spider-Man saved. Well, there is a scene that was filmed that clips exist online, and I think maybe we're even in the trailer, of him being in that little underground lab that the lizard has, and the lizard was choking him with his tail. I think there was some lines about him asking him if he had told Peter about his parents. So I think we got the information we needed in the end credit scene, but this character, I think they might have maybe killed him in the first version of it or just hurt him in some way. But they just had to hold on and wait, and now he'll be back. So
Hey, he had a pretty bland 7 minutes in the movie.
I predict he's a player in the next movie as well. Dr. Rajit Ratha,
Oscorp scientist. I'm confused, because shouldn't his role have been played by Max Strong, who plays every evil potential future villain?
When this guy first got cast, it was originally announced that he would be Van Adder, who's a character that eventually becomes a goblin. This one's called the Proto Goblin. But then later on in the production, they decided not to make him that. But so I think we can expect to see this guy become some sort of villain. Like, oh, here, you can't see this, audience, but I've brought up some pictures for Daniel. There's him holding a gun up to somebody in a sewer, which we never saw. There he is looking at the lizard stuff in the lab, which we never saw. So, yeah, there was some plans for this guy that we didn't actually see come true, but, yeah. Thoughts on that, Daniel?
Well, he just pulled up the man in shadows trying to figure out who it is, and they're saying that he's employed by Norman Osborn.
Where's that at?
Employer,
Norman Osborn. Oh, interesting. So after Kirk Connors is locked into a high-security cell, he's approached by the man in shadows, who asks if Connors told Peter Parker the truth about his father. Connors replies no, and the mysterious man vanishes. So
let's click on this guy's name, Michael Macy.
Connors yells after him that he should leave Peter alone. Here's some trivia. It had been noted that the man appears during the first flash of lightning and vanishes during the second flash. This has created the belief that he is Electro. There it is. There's also a lot of speculation that the man is Norman Osborn, but Avi Arad and Mark Webb, the director, denied the possibility. Okay, so I think...
No, I want to see what this actor's done,
Michael Macy. I think that this is the guy who I've seen in such things as 24 and Flash Forward. I think he's Dyson Frost from Flash Forward, so I'm about to find out here live on the air if I'm correct. Oh my gosh, I'm amazing. There he is. If you've seen Flash Forward, you know the character Dyson Frost. Or if you've seen 24, he's one of the villains whose name
Earlier I said I didn't think we'd see him in the sequel. Do you think he's a big enough guy that he'll be in the sequel?
I hope so, because I actually really like... He's an awesome bad guy. And looks like he's been involved with Marvel for a while. He voiced Dr. Bruce Banner in The Ultimate Avengers and Ultimate Avengers 2. Oh, that's great. I love this actor as a villain.
And I'll say this. He does look like he could play an Electro.
Did you ever watch Flash Forward?
No.
Some parts were good, some parts weren't as good, but he was one of the highlights of that show. So,
was that the show where everybody paused for 12 minutes?
People were unconscious for like a short period of time, like a couple minutes, and they saw 6 months into the future.
I heard that people who originally watched that show were on, paused for about 60 minutes.
Whatever. Okay. So, yeah, so lots of interesting things. I'm trying to I don't know if there's anything else we can share that hasn't already been hashed out. What did you think of the look of the lizard?
Cool. It was cool.
I wish it would have had, in the comics he actually has a snout, like a lizard.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would have had that. Otherwise...
But the thing is the way they stylized him, you could tell who it was.
That's true. I liked that he, in the comics, he sometimes wears a lab coat. That would have been cheesy if he would have had it on the whole time, but there were two scenes where he had the lab coat on and then got it ripped off.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about this.
Okay.
This is where my issue is. This movie is sloppy.
Okay, go.
Okay, so Peter breaks a pane of glass. Before Uncle Ben dies.
Yep.
When they come back, there's glass in the door. Now the thing is...
I don't remember.
There's glass in that door.
Okay.
Now the thing is there's actually two glass doors. Okay. There's a door that's nothing but glass.
Yeah.
And then there's this door that's wooden glass. And yeah. I can't remember which one broke.
Okay.
But we see glass in the window. Okay. So Peter leaves dinner at the Stacy house to go... fight the lizard on the bridge. So when he jumps off the building, no backpack.
Yeah, but
when he gets to the bridge, he's got a backpack.
Talk about this. I think that
the lizard's in the sewer and he's finding bathrobes.
Okay, listen. I think
it is so sloppy.
I think Peter Parker hides his backpack around the city so he doesn't have, because he wasn't going to carry his Spider-Man suit out to supper with his girlfriend's family.
It is so sloppy.
The bathrobe in the sewer, I can't explain. I don't know.
So sloppy.
Was true or false, Peter Parker was the creepiest stalker of Gwen Stacy that's ever existed.
Oh, he's uber creepy.
Because right in the first 5 minutes, he takes a picture of her out of nowhere, and she's just sitting and reading a book by Kurt Vonnegut.
Here, let me take a picture for my I Love Gwen Stacy website.
Yeah, then he has her debate.
Oh, man, pictures.
Her debate picture on
J. Jonah Jameson.
Wait. It was on his computer screensaver or desktop, so... Yeah, he was a little creepy. And why, before he told her he was Spider-Man, would he come in through her window? Like, what are her parents going to think?
Well, he climbed up the 20 stories.
He obviously, but how is that normal?
I don't know. It's fine. He's showing everybody in the city his face anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, kid! Here's my face!
But, I mean, he's a little... I think he's 17 in this movie. So, he's not, like, mature enough to realize I shouldn't show every... And he had a whole fight with the police officers with his mask off. I mean, there's a ton of people that know what he looks like now. I think that's probably a little realistic. I mean... In comics, they're obviously very secretive about their identity, but in real life, it would be tough not to tell.
See, this is the thing. This is a comic where, for the longest time, it's all been about the secretiveness of the identity.
Yeah.
And he's just showing his face off to everyone. Now, I know, again, I keep bringing up the Ultimates because I'm working through them right at the moment. Yeah. In the Ultimates, at one point, him and Mary Jane do sit down and they make a list of who's seen his face.
Yeah.
And the list is huge.
Okay.
And they realize that that's a problem. No, it's like, who actually knows who I am? Because I got to figure this out.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, he's just ripping this mask off willy-nilly. He's got this girl he's been stalking. He has a bad dinner. And like, hey, let's kiss and I'm Spider-Man.
Why would he use a camera that says property of Peter Parker in huge letters?
Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy.
Because I needed a way for the lizard to be able to find out who Spider-Man was so they could have the scene in the high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Because the lizard, who's a brilliant scientist, can't figure out that his former partner was working on spider DNA, and all of a sudden, my former partner's kid's showing up. At the same time, this Spider-Man figure's around New York
City. Here's two other funny things. In the scene in the high school, Lizard walks into the science lab and throws Peter through the wall, and he changes into a spider suit. But during that scene, Lizard, like, quickly looks back and forth at some chemicals on the desk and mixes them together and makes, like, a bomb instantly. Like, who leaves... explosive chemicals just hanging out in the lab.
Okay,
second one. When Peter first goes to Oscorp and he ends up going into that like spider like area where they're everywhere and he gets, you know, attacked by him, before he actually gets, well, all of them jump on him, he like touches one little thing, the whole thing shuts down. And why is it, how did he even get in there so
sloppy,
easily?
Sloppy, sloppy.
Okay, what were you gonna say?
I used to work at a job where I watched an OSHA video that made sure that I knew to never keep my sandwich next to the vial of blood.
Yes.
This is what happens in the real world. You don't just leave chemicals lying around.
Oh, and you and I had noticed during the movie. So his father's file has the big 00, like, as its designator. And what do you know? At Oscorp, there is a huge sign that, right next to the door. And you were saying...
Hey, look, it's a top secret project we've all been working on.
If it's the biggest secret project you have at Oscorp, you're going to put, like, a huge designator sign right there? That's a little weird.
A little weird. Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy.
So, but it's easy.
Come on, admit that it's sloppy.
I think that there were some things put into the movie because you had to get to the next point. And so, if you say that's sloppy, maybe lazy writing, I don't know, maybe. But,
sloppy.
I still liked it.
All right.
How much did you like the fact that the director was Mark Webb?
Well, that was fun.
Who also did 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, I don't care.
Did you ever see 500 Days?
I'm good. No.
That was pretty good. So, well, we talked a lot about it. Closing thoughts, go.
It's going to do really, really good, and we're going to see at least two more movies.
Is it going to...
I probably won't buy it.
Is it going to make more money than Avengers?
No.
Okay. No, it's not going to.
Not even close.
Is Dark Knight Rises going to make us completely forget that this movie even existed?
Yes.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises is going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened to us in July. That might not be true.
I'm actually kind of sad. I would like to see Disney get this back, and it's clear they're going to be making movies now. So.
Okay, here we go. I loaded up the upcoming dates. So just as a reminder, if you care about Marvel movies, Iron Man 3, May 3rd, 2013. The Wolverine.
Yes!
The Wolverine, which is a sequel to Wolverine, July 26th, 2013. Thor 2, November 8th, 2013, which I believe that was pushed back. Captain America 2, April 4th, 2014. The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I think is going to be called The Spectacular Spider-Man, is going to be May 2nd, 2014. And X-Men First Class 2, which I hope they have a different title for it by then, will be July 18th, 2014.
I will be seeing them all.
As will I. Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Daniel Butcher.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.